So, the first question we want to discuss is really two questions. We're just going to answer them both together. Why did Jesus die? Many say it was for our sin debt or to pay a sin debt. There's another question that says, why did God require a human sacrifice? So if I could just address both of those things at the same time, it would help me. Number one, I want you to look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. He that loves not knows not God. Why? For God is love. Verse 16. We have known and believed the love God has for us. God is love. He that dwells in love dwells in God and God in him. Basic concept. I don't think anybody would argue about it. God is love. And this is not saying that God will love you if. It isn't saying, well, God did love you, but. It's not saying that. It's simply stating God is love. He is love. He is the definition of love, which we can get from 1 Corinthians 13. 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. And I learned a long time ago, when I read 1 Corinthians 13, if I would just simply put the word God in place of the word love. So I want to read 1 Corinthians 13, 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels or messengers, and I don't have charity. Charity is the word love. In the King James. I'm reading from the King James. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not love, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. So let's just put the word God in that verse and we'll continue to read. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not God, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and I don't have God, I'm nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and I don't have God, it doesn't profit me anything. I hope you have a Bible and I hope you're looking at it. Because again, I'm just going to continue reading the next few verses, putting the word God in place of the word love or charity. Verse 4. God suffers long and is kind. God doesn't envy. God doesn't boast himself. God is not puffed up. God does not behave himself unseemly. God seeks not his own. God is not easily provoked. God thinks no evil. Now, I'm putting God before every one of those because I know we're talking about love. But God is love. Verse 6. God does not rejoice at iniquity. He rejoices in the truth. God will bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. God will never fail. Now, maybe you have never heard anyone do that before. Simply take the definition of love and put God in it. But as you listen to that, and I hope as you read along, you are getting that sensation of, wow, you know, this is about God, and this is how God is. God is love. And all of these attributes of God, see, these are things that Paul is writing in here so that we would understand what love is and be able to walk in love ourselves. This is what God would have us do. Why? Because that is what He is doing. You want to be like God, be made in the image of Jesus Christ. Well, one point made about God or love is in verse 5. And the way the King James wrote it, it's at the very end of the verse, God thinks no evil. Well, that word thinketh or think is 3049 in the Strong's. If you have a Strong's concordance, you can look the word up. And it is the very word impute. What does impute mean? It means to make a list. See, what he is saying here about love, thinketh no evil, love does not make a list of evil. Now, why is that significant? Because all of my Christian life, living in the apostasy I was in, I was told God was making a list of every single thing I did. And it would all come up to me in the judgment. In fact, I was told in one denominational group I was associated with that he had an angel following me around, recording every idle moment. Well, maybe you never heard that one, but that was laid on me. God has a big book in heaven, and he's got a list of everything you've ever done wrong. If you didn't hear that exactly, you probably heard something like it. So, that is not what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians 13:5 says, God does not make a record. Love does not make a record. He's long-suffering, and so on. He isn't making a record. Now, one way I can prove that is to go look at the cross. And I hear Jesus say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What does that tell us? He wasn't making a record. He didn't make a record of what they did to him. He asked that they be forgiven. He wasn't going to make a record of it. So, let's think for a minute. If God is not making a record of all of our sins, who is making the record? Satan? Well, you are making the record. It's in your mind and in your heart. And if we really boil this down to simplicity, there are two kinds of sin. One is what you have done to others, and it has created guilt and shame. The other is what other people have done to you, and it creates anger and wrath and bitterness. The record is made by us. God didn't make the record. So why did Jesus die? Did he die to pay your debt to God when God says, I haven't even made a record? Why would he die? Titus 2:14. Let me go ahead and read verse 13 along with it. Looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. He died to redeem you from iniquity. What is iniquity? Iniquity is the thought you have before you sin. Thoughts produce feelings. Feelings move you to action. You act on your thoughts. Your thoughts have a beginning. And if it's coming from you, it's iniquity. If it's coming from God, it's righteousness. But if it's coming from you, it's iniquity. Christ died to redeem us from all iniquity. And in his death, he portrays the soul of all humanity. What do you mean? When he was wearing a crown of thorns, that was a symbol of those things we have that prick our mind and hurt us. You know, you can be thinking about the past and all of a sudden something comes up and you just can't bear to think what you've done and it hurts you. Well, that's the crown of thorns. It was a symbol of that. The stripes on his back are the things that have happened to us that we just can't forgive. The stripes on his back, I was told, well, you know, he has those stripes because we deserve to be beaten like that. No, it's what has already happened to us. It isn't what you deserve, it's what's already happened. All through your life, you have received stripes from loved ones, from neighbors. People have said things, done things, ex-husbands, ex-wives, children. Things have been done to you that have hurt you all your life. And he is portraying that on the cross. He is also portraying nakedness. Nakedness is when you act outside of the Holy Spirit, where you are not clothed with the righteousness of God, but you're acting on your own. The other thing is the sun was blocked out, showing Christ in darkness as a picture of our own darkness. Darkness is no understanding of God, not a correct understanding of God. So God is light. You don't have any light. You have darkness. On the cross, Jesus Christ portrayed the soul of everybody who has ever been born on this planet. All of humanity has guilt, pain, nakedness, and darkness. Jesus died, Titus 2:14, to deliver you. Redeem you from all iniquity. The thought you have before you sin. In so doing, he delivers you from sin. Because if he can help you stop the thought, you won't act on it. If he can show you how to do that. So, why did Christ die? To redeem us from iniquity. Why did God demand a blood sacrifice? Now listen to me. God did not demand it, we did. God answered us through the death of His Son. We needed to see His death. Now, follow. Once you understand it, once you come out of the apostasy and you realize, wait a minute, there is more to the cross. God is not demanding a human sacrifice. That is paganism. And it comes to us through the Catholic Church. Paganism. If you think Jesus died to pay a sin debt, that's paganism. The Bible says He died to redeem us from iniquity. And once you understand that and you start looking up these words and seeing what is actually being taught in the Bible, you're going to discover a huge problem. The Bible doesn't say anywhere that Jesus died to pay a sin debt. That is not in the Bible. If you take the time to look everything up, you'll discover that is not even in there. Surface readers will see that. Surface readers will say He paid our sin debt. Why are they saying that? Because they don't understand God is love, and they're not applying 1 Corinthians 13 to the definition of God. If we are going to overcome iniquity, we need the sacrifice. We demand the blood sacrifice. The only reason God would demand it is to help us and to help turn us from sin and deliver us, redeem us from iniquity.